Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Welcome to the show tonight. It's been a beautiful day here in Boulder, Colorado, and a most curious time to be alive in our culture. And I'm glad that you could join us. I wanted to take a minute out before we bring our guests on tonight and talk about the idea of soul contracts. Every one of us has a variety of soul contracts with people in our lives and even pets in our life. And when we consider the nature of a soul contract, what we're doing is looking at an agreement between two souls to have a particular experience, and that experience can be hinged around a lesson there is to learn, or a support mechanism for each other, or just a new discovery. Like oftentimes when people are creating new ideas and inventions, the soul contract can be through a mutual channel of inspiration. But I just wanted to take a few minutes. And when I talk about these, just consider for yourself the many different types of soul connections that exist. We're going to take a very general perspective look at these. And when you look at the individual categories, look at people in your life that have connected through that category and see what kind of a bond they have. Because I find it very interesting when I was looking at soul contracts. Some soul contracts are so binding from the beginning, and others are arranged later in life. And the difference between those two is the ego. Because you can have a soul contract with somebody, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to fulfill it. Because in the end, the ego has the ability to pull the plug. The ego has the ability to negate the contract and not fulfill it. The ego has the ability to either respect it or deny it. And when we look at these relationships, just consider how binding they are, because some of them are very binding and some of them are altogether a choice. So to look at the idea of our friends, oftentimes we'll have a soul contract that we'll meet together in this lifetime as friends. And I'm intrigued by the idea of a friend soul contract, because typically the ego chooses the friend, even though there's a soul connection that can be motivating it. When we have a soul contract with our friends, it tends to be more resilient over time. Our friends accept us for who we are when they meet us, and that gives the relationship some resiliency. And when you think of friends, there's a commonality. Kind of a chosen connection between the two. If we look at the soul contract of a boss and an employee, sometimes the boss can be a soul contract to the employee to provide them support or an education or to develop their talents and skills in a particular arena to help them later in life. A boss-employee relationship can last for decades, for a very long time. And sometimes it can be very short and rocky and difficult. And still, the soul contract can be fulfilled. The boss-employee soul contract has a lot of personal responsibility associated with it. Our jobs can be a core aspect of our life, and that creates a relationship where there can be some leverage and there can be some tension. And and that can provide us insights within ourselves. There's the partner and the spouse, the husband and the wife soul contract. And this can be a very a deep connection at the soul level. Parents can have children together. Parents can have such a strong influence over each other and support each other. How many stories have there been in history where a couple has engaged in a endeavor or a project and spent their entire life together in that couple's relationship? But yet divorce and betrayal and deceit and can happen at such a deeper level between a husband and wife, it proves to be a very powerful platform for two souls to really deeply explore the nature of our human condition. And then the last one I want to talk about, well, I want to bring one more in before I bring up the last one, and that's our pets. We can all think of a pet, perhaps, that we've had in our life that was there for us, that, you know, pets are so resilient, they're so loving, they're so understanding, they don't bring any of the past with them, they're fresh and new in every moment. And our pets sometimes bring a sense of unconditional love. It's the, I don't care what you did to me yesterday, I see you now and I love you now. And I didn't want to skip over pets because sometimes pets have such a powerful influence in our life. And the last soul contract I want to touch on is the parent and the child. There's such a fundamental bond between a parent and a child. It's the creation of life. It's the upbringing of a child. It's the forming and fabricating the ideas and beliefs behind a human being. The parent-child soul contract is rooted in the creation of life itself. And I think from that perspective, it makes it one of the most powerful soul contracts that there are to have. And I ended with that soul contract because our show tonight is about pregnancy and infant loss. I want to bring on our guest tonight, Maria Barris. She's the founder of the My Baby Angel Foundation. And we're going to talk about what it's like to go through the loss of losing a child. Welcome to the show, Marika.
Hi, Les. Thank you so much.
You know, as I was preparing for the show tonight, my heart was just so touched in a very deep way about our topic tonight. It's such a tender and innocent arena for us to be involved with a baby. Do you want to share with us how you came about in creating your Baby Angel Foundation?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, what happened was that we went through the loss of two of our grandchildren. And our daughter-in-law and son suffered the loss of a baby. June 18th of 2008, our granddaughter was born at 22 weeks gestation, too young to survive, and lived actually for 20 minutes and then died. They turned around shortly thereafter and got pregnant again. As the doctor said, there would be no problem. They could find nothing wrong. And 9 months later, at 24 weeks, the water broke and our grandson died in the birth canal breach, and so he was stillborn. So there was two losses in a nine-month period of time, which I say the first one put me on my knees and the second one literally on all fours. I'm 62 years old, so I've been through a lot of losses in my life, parents and relatives and friends, and losing the grandchildren was indeed the hardest.
You know, it's the possibility of life to want a child and to conceive a child, and it's such a birthplace of hope and inspiration and potential of a relationship that's so touching, and to lose that, it's hard to express in words how deeply it can touch you.
Yes, and the biggest point is that one out of four women actually suffer a pregnancy or infant loss. You know, when we look at statistics that one out of eight women is diagnosed with breast cancer, we're talking about twice as many women going through a loss like this, and how our society responds. I guess that's really going through my own process of grief, which I'm a therapist. I really took myself into the deepest throes of that pain, attending support groups, candle lighting vigils, reading every book I could find, finding ways to try to make some sort of sense out of what made no sense for me, and just the trauma and the shock that comes along with a loss, because obviously when we start on the journey of having a family, the thought is that we will have that, and
sure.
We have all
those,
we have all those hopes and dreams, and you know, no one really prepares us for a loss, and then because the subject has been taboo, and it still to this day is taboo in so many circles, that makes it even more difficult because many are isolated and suffer their grief alone.
Sure, it's such a public event, if you will. You announce you're pregnant, you announce the beginning of a family perhaps, and there's a lot of attention, and there's perhaps anticipation of, you know, success and fulfillment, and to have that fall through your grasp and fall away, it's a very kind of a public platform to go through that kind of a loss. And traditionally, our society doesn't do so well when it comes to really deeply sharing how we feel.
Yes. And it is. This is, you know, it's a disenfranchised grief, truly. You had brought up, interestingly, you brought up about pets and the connection. And I'm bringing this up because a couple of years ago, we received here in Longmont, we just had our third year of receiving a city proclamation for October as Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. And I want to say that proclamation, it's a city proclamation, but national October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month, has been around since 1988, but people don't realize it. There's rarely, unless they work within the pregnancy and infant loss arena, they do not know that October is in fact Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. And so having a city proclamation was really for the point of bringing it to a community level, a closer community level. But a couple of years ago when I received the proclamation, what I mentioned to them was is when someone has a loss, you know, we support through free phone consultations, and we send out a beautiful art print called Held in the Hands of the Great Mystery. And I will be at this local store where they have a post office and to mail those out. And I'm noticing all the cards when I'm in the line, and I'm seeing a whole section of pet loss cards. But I'm standing there and saying to myself, if someone has a miscarriage, I do not have a card that I can buy for them specific to a miscarriage or a sudden infant death syndrome loss or stillbirth. There is no such card that's publicly put into the stores that I can purchase. And I thought that that was pretty, I mean, years ago, I'm old enough to know years ago, a pet loss card didn't exist. But now we have those available. So to watch how our society continues to enlighten itself around the grief and being able to feel our deepest feelings, because really our grief is about our love. And when we have the love, we feel the loss.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's telling that there's not cards available for us to convey such a deep personal feeling with each other. You know, you got to imagine a lot of the feelings that come up during the loss of an infant get pushed under. Our society can be so, well, you're over that now, aren't you? Because we have things to do, or kind of push it aside sort of mentality with how busy our schedules can be. You know, when we stop and take the time and be present with ourselves, you can have had an event of this sort years ago and still have a lot of grief and heartache inside that hasn't been resolved.
Yes, and that's absolutely true. And I would say that even for my own experience, which I had a loss when I was very young, 19, and it was an early loss, and it was something that got buried for many, many, many years. And it wasn't until I really began working with women with first trimester losses, and kind of there was a question whether I was or wasn't, and we didn't have quite the same modern ways of figuring out you're pregnant, or we didn't understand a lot of things at that point in time in comparison to today. And so, yeah, so for me to actually go back to that period of time and feel whatever grief I had around that was an additional piece that I added into it, because I realized how I had closed the door on my own experience at that time and really shut out the feeling part. And allowing, knowing that we can feel these feelings and we won't die. We can feel these feelings and watch them alchemically transform into the love that they really are. And having a society that supports that process is what my dream is, and my, how I vision it to be someday. And it's going there. I absolutely believe that all the work that's happening in the world right now around pregnancy and infant loss will eventually take us there.
So we're sitting here talking about this, and our listeners can think, well, that was back then. I'm over it now. How can there be value to revisiting something that I've finally got over, even with a struggle behind it? And, I think about my own life, and my parents lost their first son when he was less than a year old. And I know it impacted my father, because being the first son, he had a lot of high expectations and a vision of raising a boy, and to have that boy pass and not have that opportunity kind of galvanized him in a sense. And then I come along actually three boys later, and there was a time in my youth when I was less than 6 months old, and I got severely ill. They thought I was going to pass. And my dad had to watch over me that day. And here he is holding another one of his sons who is close to death. And I know without a doubt in my mind that all the feelings of that first loss were stirred in him. And it scared him to death. Because, and so when we talk about something like this, that there's always value into stopping our busy day and slowing down our mind and really connecting with ourselves to the point of genuinely feeling how we felt in that time, and to cleanse ourselves and free ourselves, if you will, from anything we pushed down during those episodes.
Mm-hmm. So, Les, I want to say something that probably has never been said to you, and that is that I'm sorry for the loss of your sibling, because so often this happens, especially years ago in families, and the other children may have known about this other child or the pregnancy loss, but they really, it was their sibling. It was your brother. And so I just want to extend that to you. Today is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. And I mentioned the month of October, but this is a special day today, Remembrance Day. And at 7, I lit a candle for both my grandchildren as well as all the babies with my baby angel candle. And candles are being lit, and people are doing whatever they feel good about doing in remembrance of their babies at 7 p.m. in all the time zones around the world. So, again, I will sometimes have people tell me a sibling story, and I know they tell me that's the first time that anyone ever acknowledges their loss, because it was your loss as well. And on terms of the grief piece, I think what's really important also is to know that each of us grieve very individually, and the journey of grief is unique to each of us, and allowing a person to be exactly where they need to be in their grief process. I may have a woman who goes back to work 3 weeks after the death of her baby because that's what she needs to do. I may have another woman who can't get out of bed for a month, and that may be what she needs to do. So it's being able to hold and allow people, because it is a shock, it is trauma that we're working with, and, you know, obviously to seek help and support when it's needed. I think that, you know, support of various kinds, a lot of people are finding support online these days. There are a lot of organizations and, you know, Facebook pages and communities that have different online groups, as well as support groups that exist, either through organizations or hospitals or clinics that have them. Not as many as we need, but they're out there. So to find the kind of support that one needs. And in looking back, again, that's an individual process. I chose to do that in my own situation because that's what I needed to do. If someone else doesn't want to open up that door and it's not the time, or they may never, that is also perfect in its experience as well.
Well, I appreciate that. I guess I didn't know how much it meant to me, because I sure welled up when you offered that. And you know, while you're talking about this support, can you share with us the kinds of support My Baby Angel Foundation has?
Yes. So, you know, when you start out with something like a nonprofit, and really what I felt was is that this wasn't about what I thought was needed, that I really wanted to listen to those that we're going through the experiences to see where we could be of support. And so really our main focus right now is the free consultation. So someone will contact me via our website or Facebook page and have a connection. They may be asking me for information. Tomorrow I'll be talking to a woman in another state who contacted me who wants to put a walk on. A Walk to Remember for the first time and wants me to talk to her about what some of the processes are with that. I had another woman some years ago, a couple of years ago, who contacted me from Tennessee and wanted to start a support group. And it had been 10 years since her loss, and she felt ready to do that. So she started in a little tiny town in Tennessee her own support group in a way that they're supporting the hospital. And she also last year had her first city proclamation for Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month, so I was really happy to hear about that. When I put the proclamation on my Facebook page for My Baby Angel Foundation, someone contacted me, a gentleman, and said, you know, will you send this to me in a larger form? But he didn't really tell me what he was going to do with it, and I was like, great, and because I was saying maybe you want to have one in your city. And a few days ago, he sent me a state proclamation for Nebraska. So he got a state proclamation for Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month for October for the state of Nebraska. So that's very exciting. And so I feel that, you know, by offering the free consultations, and sometimes it's just a matter of hearing the story, finding some local support if possible for them in their area. And then we send out this beautiful art print called Held in the Hands of the Great Mystery. And that has the babies, actually I'm mailing four of those tomorrow, that has the baby's name, if they name the baby, and the date or dates on there. And, you know, we hear back that this brings a lot of comfort. I know I had a contact, someone sent me a poem yesterday, a beautiful poem, and she asked me, you know, to share that if at all possible, if I thought someone needed that, and I offered to send her the art print. And what she said was that was the kindest thing that anyone had done for her. And I had sent a copy of the art print, and she had had 8 pregnancy losses and wow, no possibility of ever having children. And I thought to myself, and I apologized to her and said, I'm sorry that our society isn't ready yet and isn't able to give women the kind of support that they really do deserve. You know, not all the wonderful work that's going on in the organizations and hospitals, and, you know, bless them for all of that, but just as a society where we're learning how to be with this issue of pregnancy and infant loss, and to think that with 8 losses that just sending her the R print meant so much to her, which is what she was saying to me. So really that's our focus. We've also had the proclamation, and we've had a walk. We've done walks for the last few years. Really for me at this point, our nonprofit is a small nonprofit. I've kept it that way so that I can really not be spending all of my time trying to build a nonprofit, but in fact be on the front lines and supporting in whatever way that I can. But really it's about how we, you know, our tagline is helping transform society's response to pregnancy and infant loss. And that's the place that we really want to be in, whatever way that we can be used in that benefit. The title for the talk tonight is Secret Loss, Secret Love, What 1 in 4 Women Knows and Needs to Share. And that's a book that I started working on a few years ago and hope to have done in 2015, which will, you know, give some of that information and really for us to look at this as a sacred journey. That's what I would want to say. And life is a sacred journey and death is a sacred journey. And when we bring them together, we hold them both in that place.
Very well put. You know, hope is the word that keeps coming to me of when you start a pregnancy and the idea of having a child is created and embraced and excitement builds, and to have that come through as a loss, as a termination, is, you know, I'm beginning to understand better why the feelings I've had towards the show today, have come up in me, because it touches us so deeply, and when we get moved at such a deep level, and yet we don't spend enough time there with our attention, that tenderness doesn't go away. That the pain, the loss of the event can sit there in our consciousness and affect how we relate to every other pregnancy in the future. It's, you know, when you mentioned that you offer that free consultation, I would suggest to our listeners that if you have been moved to listen to this show and you've had those types of events in your life, it's a good opportunity to take that extra step and give an opportunity for a deeper healing to happen, so you can be more present and enjoy the process of life in the future, however that presents itself.
Yes, and you know that sometimes it's simply being able to tell our story. You know, it's so many times I'm on the phone, and it's because, you know, their stories can be frightening to the average person listening to, you know, the details that can be there. But to know that you can share your full story, that in itself has a transformative quality to it. We, you know, telling our stories and holding the shock and the trauma and, you know, the pain that's around that, and having another person be able to hold that, or a group be able to hold that, a community, is huge. And it's a way that we can process it all and integrate it into the totality of who we are, rather than, you know, I say I'm a grandmother of seven, five of them are living. Never in my life, if you had asked me if I conceived, that I would ever say that. No, I mean, my entire being rejected that whole, and today I say that proudly, and in hopes also that all of those mothers and grandmothers that are out there will be able to also acknowledge those that are not here with them. And they do, and I've had people, you know, in an audience cry and come up, thank you for giving me permission. You know, our society needs to give that permission.
So often our society paints the feminine model as this active, on-the-go, stylish, you know, vibrant woman, and there's no sorrow in that picture. There's no real healthy public image of a woman expressing deep sorrow and grief that is held in any kind of a positive and healing light.
Yes.
And you're looking to change that, and you're actually doing it right now. And thank you for showing up for this passion of yours.
Well, I say to people, if someone told me, you know, 10 years ago that I'd be doing this kind of work, I would have said, no, I'm sorry, but you have the wrong person. This is not an area I plan on going to. But today I am honored to be able to do this work. I am so grateful. I get to be with and experience the most courageous women and men who go through these processes, who go through the loss, go through the experience, and do amazing things with that, and open their hearts and bring their lives back together at some point. But even just to watch the tenderness and the love that's there for their babies, no matter what age, that's a privilege. That's an honor to be able to witness that.
You're actually, you're freeing these people from a numbness, I think, that happens when we harbor untold grief and sorrow in our hearts. when we push it down, and especially when there's multiple events over and over layered in our subconscious, that we hold our head up and we push through the day and we do what we will, and we might not even be as cognitive of how much of our feelings are tied up in that. And then for you to come along and for this organization and even the global awareness of it, and bring consciousness, bring compassion, bring even just the presence, like you were saying, just to be there to listen, just to be there to listen, create a space for it to be spoken without judgment, without discern, in that space of innocence, to heal that feminine heart over and over again through thousands and millions of women is really awakening a very deep sense of ourself that perhaps has been overlooked for such a long time.
And let me say that every person has the opportunity to provide that for another human being. If it's, we're talking about one out of four women, you know, there's no way that all of the organizations and the people that could support all that exists out there. So we are there, whether you're someone who's already experienced this and you want to support someone else, or you've never experienced it and you still can be that listening ear, not to fix anything, not to change anything, but to be able to be present in their pain, in their grief, and hold that for them as they move through their own grieving and transformative process. That's what all of us have the opportunity to do, and that's when we will really be fulfilling and changing the way society looks at pregnancy and infant loss. And there are many other things that are kind of a dream and a vision, you know, in terms of how women are treated, and we've changed a lot over the years. And wherever we are, we always think that we're enlightened, and we're always just on that road to enlightenment. And we've done some wonderful things in the arena of pregnancy and infant loss. There's a wonderful organization called Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. And they, if it wasn't for them, I would not have seen the pictures of my grandchildren. And yes, at 22 and 24 weeks, I have seen both my granddaughter, Kendon, and my grandson, Kale. And so they actually go in when it's over 20 weeks to labor and delivery, and volunteer photographers all over the world who have signed up and been trained to go in and do photographs of these babies so that they end up having something as a remembrance, pictures of their baby. And that's babies with medical problems or other physical issues that are there, or, you know, depending on at what age gestation they're born, they have those pictures. So it's a whole nother way of, which we didn't have before. 30 and 40 years ago, there are horrific stories of how they treated women when they would have a stillbirth. It's referred to as a miscarriage up to 20 weeks, and then after that it can be a stillbirth or a neonatal loss. And so we've evolved on some levels, but still a woman walks out of an emergency room at 14 weeks being told there's no heartbeat and maybe told to go home by herself or with someone, and things will happen at home, and is left alone to go through that whole process.
Sure.
And, yeah, and so without support, without, you know, what's really needed, I mean, the stories are horrific that I listen to. So, yeah, that we have a ways to go.
Well, you know, I always to take a step back and look at the flip side of things that are not right. And so to take the flip side of that, a woman goes in and is told that there's no heartbeat. For that to be the beginning of support from that moment where she doesn't go home alone, I mean, according to her choice, of course, but to provide support in that moment and in the following weeks would be such a healing that isn't happening now. You know, the feminine aspect of our society has, for a large part, taken on the masculine side of what is, quote, approved, unquote. The successful woman is often portrayed as a businesswoman with masculine traits. And the flip side of that is a woman not in a masculine setting, but in a feminine setting, and to be valued by our society, by our culture, for that authentic feminine presence is what's going to bring our society back into balance, back into healing, back into wholeness. And I sit here and as we're talking about this topic on the show, I get this sense that the feminine idea, the feminine persona of our culture has been told to like suck it up and just, you know, get on with it, and really sincerely hasn't had any kind of a compassionate feminine support mechanism and community for these type of issues, and I'm sure there's others as well.
Yeah, and I think that, again, I would say it's in process. Yes, we have a long ways to go, but for instance, right now there's some folks across the U.S. and I'm sure U.K. as well and other areas in the world, there's training that's going on for loss doulas. So a doula that would actually be able to be present and help through a loss situation. So we're on these stepping stones of changing. But before that's ever going to get to the masses, it's going to take time. You know, it's kind of like I say, someone goes through a loss and this is not a world you look at as part of your kind of repertoire. Oh, I think I'll go look and see what it means or what a baby loss situation is like. It's not a place that you go to research unless you have the experience. You know,
yourself.
It's just like even someone who has, you know, if you get diabetes, all of a sudden you find out there's a whole world about diabetes that you had no idea about before. And so here you are in a grieving place and you have to pretty much go shopping online to find support for yourself, whether it's online or in your community or in your state or, you know, depending on where people are located. And it's not a time that's easy to do. I mean, grief clouds a lot of thinking and just even being able to be embodied after going through, you know, shock and trauma to your own body physically. So I think a lot, again, things are happening, but there's just a whole lot more that has to happen. I know that in many places, for instance, a miscarriage, the labor and delivery will not take them upstairs unless they are 20 weeks or close to 20 weeks in their gestational pregnancy, which means that if you're 17 weeks, you could end up giving birth in an emergency room rather than being taken to a labor and delivery. I know of these stories. And that, I mean, I know one woman who walked out of the emergency room and drove to another place where she could, because she said, they weren't going to just lock me in a back room and leave me there by myself to go through this. You know, I'm not going to. So, again, we're in that place of enlightening ourselves on the compassionate action that needs to happen around pregnancy and infant loss, and acknowledging acknowledging the love that people, women, men, feel for their babies, whether they're 4 weeks pregnant or 40 weeks pregnant, or the baby's 4 months old or 4 years. We, you know, this is not, you know, there are some things in life that are not measurable, and the only reason we measure is so we can kind of wrap some sort of judgment or put our own experience in some alignment with
right.
it. And that's not what this is about. It's really about what is that connection, and honoring that personal experience. There's an interesting article that I shared with someone recently who had a sudden infant death situation with her baby, and the article is Scientists Discover Children's Cells Living in Mother's Brains, and it's actually in Scientific American. So, but it talks about the tremendous physical connection between the mother and the fetus and through the placenta, and that cells, it says cells may migrate through the placenta between the mother and the fetus, taking up residence in many organs of the body, including the lung, and it goes through a list. And so it's an interesting, when we realize that it's there are things that we don't understand, and there are pieces of this that are much bigger than we may have even thought about, that connection that we do have. And again, I want to say that this is not for every woman or every man. They may not feel that connection, but for those that do, they need to be honored for their feelings as well.
Right. Well said. You know, as I listen to you talk about this, even the medical industry, here is a woman at the hospital with preemie pregnancy that might come be delivered, and the hospital doesn't know. I mean, the sense I got was the hospital didn't know how to handle such a intense event, and they, it's like they want to push it aside and not really be compassionate about it. It's like the technology, the medicine of the medical industry can overlook the human side of it. How nice would have that been to be flipped and have support even in those really early weeks? I mean, the change.
And,
go ahead.
Yes, and I'm going to say that, you know, there have been major changes in the over 20 weeks when they go to labor and delivery. There's just a whole, I mean, complete way and care that's available. But 80% of the losses occur in that first trimester, okay?
Wow.
So the first 12 weeks. And so those are the women that are ending up in doctor's offices and emergency rooms with minimal amount of support. And so, you know, we've worked at this end. Now we need to continue to expand to be able to embrace all losses.
Well, you're bringing light to this. You are bringing light to this, and your passion for it is very evident. And you are the portal, the doorway for this change to happen. I want to give you a big hug because I know you go through such deep, intimate feelings with people over and over again. And that's got, I mean, you've experienced it yourself. How, wow, what a compassionate effort you're putting out there. And I thank you for that. Unbridled commitment to it.
Thank you. You know, our life calls us to different kinds of work. And again, like I told you, this was not on my list of what I thought I would be doing. And for me, I am inspired when I listen and watch the whole process and experience the love as well as the pain and the loss that people share with me. And it's the beauty of who we are as humans. And that's what I witnessed in this whole process. 6 years ago, before I had any contact at this level, I would not have been speaking these words. So it has changed me. The experience and so many that have shared their stories have helped me and opened up my heart to be able to stand in this place. And I believe for everyone that we have that capacity that's out there. It may be just one person. It may be a sibling that we know that had a loss that we never really acknowledged, or a friend or a neighbor or someone in our spiritual community. There are ways that we can open that up, and that's where the societal change. One person, 10 people, 100 people are not going to do that, but each one of us taking a step forward at this level of compassion and being able to hold it is what will really transform our society's response to pregnancy and infant loss.
No doubt. I think there's a point in your in an individual's healing in their journey where the passion and the power of the heart awakens. And you know, for myself, I look at humanity and I look at the just atrocious crap that we do to each other. And perhaps you share the same moment in your life where you can't look away anymore. You can't ignore it anymore. It's like you find a vehicle, an agency of expression of that you can engage with your heart, and you do it. You go and you do it. And I can't, I won't back off, and I know you won't either. It's like this has to happen, and it's through that compassionate love, basically, for humanity that we observe through our heart that moves us at such a deep level that you can't look the other way. There's no other path at that point in your life.
Yeah. And the experience for women can be so disempowering. So it's, you know, to have to carry that for their lives in a disempowered position is not what we want, because we want women to have that feminine power, to keep that and to integrate that experience into them so that they can be fully the feminine that they are.
Absolutely. Very well put. I what you just said is the reawakening of the healthy feminine, which will bring balance to our human condition. That what you just said right there is the mechanism of bringing humanity back to its wholeness. And it's going to have many, many faces. It's going to have many, many stories, but they'll all be very similar to your face and your story as you share with us tonight this journey of yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, you know, there's something about a pregnancy that it is hope. Is I keep coming back to hope, but it's this to have a child and anticipate the raising of a young person and to share that as a journey is at the core of being human. I mean, I don't know what gets any deeper than that, and so it touches us at such a deep level, and if we haven't healed at that deep of a level, then how can we be in our wholeness? So this is very powerful stuff we're talking about tonight.
It is. And you know, I had someone once say to me something about being healed, and what I said is that word didn't even fit for me at that point, because I didn't, you know, it means that I'm not healed, and I didn't feel that way. It was really more about integrating it into the wholeness and the totality of who I am. So there was no, like, piece that needed to be healed, but really a recreation of my story and who I was as a human being. Now I'm a grandmother of seven. Five of them are living.
Right. Well, Marika, an hour can go past pretty fast. Do you want to take some time and share with our audience how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, sure. So we do have a Facebook page, My Baby Angel Foundation. Please come on and like us. I put a lot of interesting articles on there and comments, you know, on a not necessarily a daily, but usually every other day, something there. There's a lot going on in the pregnancy and infant loss community right now. There's been a movie that's came out called Return to Zero, and that's been on Lifetime now. I actually went to the opening of it in California, the premiere, and with Minnie Driver, it's a story of a stillbirth, and the writer and producer, it was his true story. So, you know, a lot is going on. And, you know, I want to say, too, that you can reach me at Marika, M-A-R-I-K-A, Marika at mybabyangel.org, if you want to email me. Our website is mybabyangel.org, and you can see some of the things that we provide there and some of the information. And I want to, you know, just say that, you know, if you have had a loss, and you feel that you can find someone to talk about your loss to, volunteering with local organizations, looking for a support group or starting one yourself in your community, connecting with local hospitals, depends on where someone is. This one woman, it was 10 years since her loss, and now she was ready. She said, now I'm ready to start a support group. So it depends on where you are in the process and how you need to be supported or want to support. If this is, you know, a place of actually taking what I call compassionate action, because when we take compassionate action, that's what's going to transform our society. There's also some legislation out there I want to say real quickly. I mentioned it at our proclamation, and that's S-2746. It's a Senate bill. And that Senate bill is really to help further with kind of the dissemination of information and surveillance for stillbirths and sudden infant death. It passed already on September 9th through the House, so we just now need to get it through the Senate. And it was brought to my attention by a woman whose child in our community died of SIDS recently. And that's S-2746. So if you can contact Senator Udall and Senator Bennett around S-2746 and ask them to support it, it would be great.
Well, Marika, I'm so glad there's people like you out there. I can feel the passion that you have for this in your heart and the motivation and the energy that you put behind it is going to touch the core of our feminine culture, and boy, does it need it. Thank you so much for doing what you do, and thank you so much for being on our show tonight.
And thank you, Les, for bringing so many people together, and I'm looking forward to listening to some more of the talks on your show that are coming up, and thank you for your hard work and educating and helping so many of us out here, the listeners.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Good night.
You know, when we take the time to really connect with how we feel, we always learn more about ourselves. The healing, perhaps a better word would be the resolution or the integration of any incongruencies we have in our past, moments in time where we've had to suck it up or suppress how we felt in the moment, lingers there until we go back and touch them. So I appreciate you joining us on our show tonight, and take the time to grow yourself. You're important. Thanks for listening.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.